Now it's my pleasure to welcome Charlotte to Major League Soccer as our 30th team. And now your new owner, David Tepper.
Charlotte.
You ready to party?
Please join me in welcoming Charlotte Football Club's first head coach, Miguel Angel Ramirez.
Buenos dias.
In the 2022 MLS Super Draft, presented by Adidas, Charlotte FC selects from the University of Maryland and Generation Adidas, Ben Bender.
Welcome, bienvenidos and vitam. Today we have Janis Michalik, the former U.S. men's national team player from Poland and longtime commentator for ESPN, SiriusXM, and TVP Sport in Poland. I talk with him about Polish soccer, Charlotte FC's Polish nationals, and more. But before the interview, let's talk about tonight's match against the Crew. This is a continuation of the July 29 match that was suspended by weather, and the clock will begin at 15:58 with a dropped ball in front of the Charlotte FC goalkeeper, which may or may not be Kalina, based on his injury that he when he dislocated his finger before the Union match. The other interesting rule about this match is that per MLS, every player that was on the pitch and listed as a sub for the suspended game must remain. So if a team wants to make a change to the lineup before the match, that is seen as a substitute. So after a stellar game from Danny Rios and Kamil Joswiak, they could be inserted in the lineup, but whoever they replace cannot play later. This also means that Burns, Santos, and Milanda are not available for tonight's match. And now, here's my conversation with Janis. All right, well, welcome, Janis. Thanks for being here. I know you had a busy weekend with all the Nations League games and the Premier League stuff this morning, so I appreciate you being on. What kind of conclusions did you, the Nations League games this past week?
I think it's a good competition that obviously, you know, some teams or countries treat it differently, but in the end, I think the benefits outweigh the former just friendly matches that didn't mean anything, right? Because even though some players and countries will tell you that it still doesn't maybe mean much, it sort of does, right? I mean, England got relegated from the top group with all the talent they have in the world, right? Where Hungary is leading in that group. That's not insignificant. The English will tell you that, but it's not. And it's not insignificant because the next time around, in those games, they will not get to play like now, Germany, Italy in their group, and maybe Holland or whatever it may be. And if you know, big teams that they're used to playing, they're going to be playing against small level of competition. So it means a lot still, right? And of course, as we know, maybe it doesn't apply to the biggest countries, but there's for example, 10 top countries get pot one for the qualifying for next Euros. That's important. You know, you miss on that, you go to pot two. Right. Again, some of these big countries are going to miss that. So I think it is important. I think we'll see that in the finals. Once you get to the final four, I think it's going to be exciting. And then, you know, for the smaller countries, it means a chance via playoffs and European qualifying to get there.
Right. And isn't this really also a last chance for some of these teams to look to see what they really have for World Cup?
Well, yes. And that would have been the same, I suppose, if you just had straight out friendlies. Although I think you see a lot more when the game is meaningful. For example, Poland playing against Wales. Wales is our group with the United States. And they certainly get to look at their players just before they face United States in the first game. In the World Cup for Poland, very, very similar. A lot of unanswered questions. And in the first game against a team that we know well, Mexico, and they have Argentina in their group as well. So absolutely, it's if you're going to make a decision on a player, because let's be honest here. I mean, most teams will probably know 20, 21, 22 of the players that they would have taken. They're making decision on last two or three or four. And if you really want to make that decision, you want to make it under pressure in a bigger game that means something, because that's what the World Cup is.
Right. Well, going from there and shifting and talking about that, we had, of course, our Charlotte FC's main guy there, Karol Swiderski, scored a goal against Wales, and that's helpful. Can you tell me a little bit about how he fits in the Polish system and where you might see him come World Cup time with them?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time that I actually wasn't there commentating for the games. I will see him in Qatar, covering Poland for the Polish TV and, well, some stuff for ESPN as well. He was already in a pretty good position, but this just solidifies not only his spot, although I don't think that, well, it was a small question, because there are a few, I'll get to it in a second, but and now it's even, he's put himself in the frame to start if they go with two strikers, because, Arek Milik, who was, a player that's right now at Juventus, he was at Olympic Marseille, obviously in Napoli. He was a player that's been often injured and had some issues, but now he's playing well. He's been scoring for Juventus and didn't look good in the first game when he came off the bench next to Lewandowski against Holland. And here comes Świderski and scores again. And he's been outstanding. I mean, 8 goals, I think, in the last 17 games. Yeah. I mean, he's been scoring not just in general, but as of late, if it's off the bench or if it's in the starting lineup. So that is very important. His stock has gone up. No worries whatsoever about making the World Cup, but now, does he play himself in? And it's, these games, again, they change a lot because, that injuries, whatever it may be. I'll mention somebody that viewers will know, Adam Buksa, who came into the team. I remember I was covering in the World Cup qualifiers, scoring like 4 goals in 3 games or something like that. And obviously transferred to Lens, where another MLS, former MLS player, Frankowski from Chicago Fire, plays as well, and injury. Bad timing for him. He's just right. Coming back right now. But what happens to him? He would have been, in my mind, a sure player. And now, between all these strikers, he's on the outside looking in. But for Karol Świderski, as I said, I don't think it was a question of going to the World Cup. But now it's a big question. Does he play more than anybody would think? And I was doing some of the commentary from here about the game against Holland, which Poland really didn't look good. And Świderski never made it off the bench, which I couldn't understand. And I think the manager must have been listening to me.
Yeah, you do have the ear of a lot of folks.
I have that power now.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, we were kind of talking off air. You feel like, we have a couple of Polish players on our team, and I'm sure that's helpful that we have kind of a cluster of three players, because then they have people that they can relate to and things like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe each of our players, or maybe just start out talking about like what that means to have people of your kind of same nationality, kind of the same, they grew up not together but kind of together?
Well, the fact that it's, when you move, leagues, countries, there's always that time where you have to adapt. And that's no different than moving somewhere in Europe, but it is further. It's a little bit different, isn't it? I mean, Players are used to, with European Union now, and you kind of just drive through all over the Europe. You don't think much of it. It's still obviously a big, you have to adjust when you move from, say, Polish league to the German league or whatever it may be. But I think moving across the ocean, I think it's a little bit different. So having three players in a brand new league, which in many ways is different than the European leagues, right? I mean, the way we calendar, I think the vastness of our country, the travel, the artificial turf, just it does take, I think it's harder to adapt here than it is, say, for a Polish player to adapt in Germany or France, right?
Right.
So I think that helps. There's no doubt about that. I think having somebody that you can speak the language, if you didn't know English already or don't feel comfortable speaking it, it's always good to have somebody that you would have known, because these players know each other anyway, having to play against each other and all that. So I think that's just a bonus. And Karol came in, and obviously no problems for him. I think, Kamil Jóźwiak is an interesting one. And I think that Charlotte fans haven't seen the best of him. I feel for him a little bit because he's always been in and around during the qualifying in the thoughts of the manager. And now it's difficult. It's going to be very difficult for him because not being called In a position, by the way, where there's need for Poland to some degree, because, you know, the way they post Poland plays with wing backs, I think Jóźwiak has shown that he can do that. It's not impossible, but not being called into this camp, it does make a difference. Poland will play one more game, actually, before leaving for the World Cup. But I think it's just before they leave. I think it's Chile, although it's not confirmed yet. So it could be somebody else. But it makes it difficult for him. And he was a player that's been around the national team lately with Paulo Souza and even with Michniewicz. I think he may have. He's been there as well with the new manager. And I feel for him a little bit. But we still haven't seen the best of him, I think. And Charlotte certainly hasn't. It may be confidence. I don't know. Of course, I'm not there with you guys. It could be a little bit of confidence. It could be the fact that uncertainty, right? I mean, you want to be in the World Cup. You want to play for Poland. That probably doesn't help that he's kind of in between with his club and with his country. But in terms of talent, I've seen him at his best, and I haven't seen him at his absolute best yet with Charlotte. So I think the good or the best is still to come.
Do you think anything about his injury? Do you think just coming back from that has hampered him?
Yes, of course. I mean, that doesn't help. Injuries don't help. It's a combination of all of that, right? And timing is everything. I mentioned Buxa, who was, for the longest time, I thought he'd be going to Qatar, and he still may be, but I mean, he was off in a critical time with the national team. Now he's starting to play a little bit in France with Lens. If he plays lights out, I think, you know, although there's some massive decision at forward, Fidelski, Buxa, Milik, Piontek, former Milan player who came in against Wales and sort of always does well with the national team. He's not doing great for club, but it's one of those players that's for some reason for Poland does always well, and Lewandowski. So I think Jóźwiak in some crazy way, who in those wide position, his issue is that the league's almost over, right? So how does he show himself? And that's his biggest issue. So yes, injuries didn't help him.
And then just getting on for us. So having more opportunities for Charlotte to be able to show them, you know, they're not seeing him because we have so much competition and different playing that we're expecting. Right. Now we've had Jan Sobaczynski start a couple of matches lately, but was out the last match or so. Tell me about him as a talent. I know he's rather young and raw, but we...
Well, that's just it. I mean, you know, I remember him and talking about him. And, you know, when I remember, I mean, he was really with some of the guys that, like, I think Kivior, who played so well against Holland and in particular against Wales, you know, they were in that under 20 World Cup that was in Poland. The United States was in it. Tab Ramos was playing it. He was playing a significant role. I'm trying to remember now times with LKS Łódź, his club, when they were still in top division in Poland. Then, you know, the team dropped from the top division from Ekstraklasa. That's never great. Right. You know, second level of Polish football. I think confidence, if I remember, goes down. It just does. You're so young. You kind of, you know, in the national team system in a youth level, then the move happened, right? And the time the move happened, yes, he still played in Poland, but he was the first one to sign before Charlotte even played a game. So obviously small sample now. I did see him play those two or three games at center back and time. I think that Ronis, maybe a manager trusting him, the change of manager, good, better, and different didn't help anybody, I suppose. I'm not just talking about him.
Because you don't have enough time. To...
Right. So with him, it's going to be interesting next season. I think he's going to have a big season. He's going to have to show both Charlotte, and if he wants, obviously he's so young, so the future is still in front of him with the Polish national team. It's going to be a new cycle, European championships and all that. And let's not forget, for all those guys, the next World Cup is in the United States. So I think, you know, if you still have... you know, you want to be seen on the global stage, what's best than an MLS player based and showing well when the World Cup's coming here? So he's young enough, but I think next season for Sobaczynski is going to be important because he will likely want to be establish himself as a starting player for Charlotte. He's going to have to do that.
Right. So we have, you know, of course, all the MLS teams have scouting folks all over and things like that. Do you get called upon a lot to talk about specific players that you know, and especially in the Polish system, because you cover it for TVP and ESPN and Sirius, and you cover a lot, which, you know, I've read and learned a lot is your strength is like that whole holistic, like you have all these leagues and kind of, it's hard to pay attention, but you watch a lot of games and you're like all over it. I was talking to Eric Krakauer, who does the television play-by-play, and he's similar in that same way, as he feels like he brings to the table the ability to look at, because he used to cover for BN, he used to cover all these different leagues. And it was like, he has a better perspective of kind of world soccer, and he thinks it really helps him. And I don't know if you get that.
I do. And yeah, I mean, I have dealt with, I think, every Polish player that's been here, with the exception of maybe Karol, I think, but maybe because the links were, because Jan, yeah, it's not even a secret anymore, but Jan was wanted not just by Sobocinski, just by Charlotte. So, but, you know, I mean, part of it is obvious because I know the Polish players and I do a lot of work in Polish television, and just the fact that I just know, right? And of course it helps that, you know, my generation is either coaching or director of coaching just about every club in Major League Soccer. So I have those links. This didn't just happen now. There's a plethora of Polish players.
Right.
But, you know, be it Niezgoda, be it Buksa, or you know, all the players, Frankowski, when he was at, he started against Holland recently. When he was in Chicago, went to Lens, where Buksa is now. So all, you know, a lot of those coaches or director of coaching are my friends, my former teammates. And so it just makes sense. So yes, I do talk a lot about them. You know, clubs have questions. Obviously they do their homework. Right. I mean, if I wasn't here, it's not the end of the day these days. It was a lot harder in the past, MLS say 10 years ago when they were looking at it, because, you know, you couldn't go on Y Scout or the network of scouts is everywhere. It's so easy to see these players play right now. So they do a lot of their homework, but, you know, they still kind of want to know stuff on the inside. And to be honest, they understand that because a lot of times I'm not as familiar with these players, right? Some of these players are very young and I don't have time to watch every Polish first division game that some of these guys have played but I do know a lot of players that I can hop on the phone and you know, or not players, but friends, coaches, they can hop on the phone in Poland and get the insight of it.
Well, you had, you know, it's interesting because you talk about World Cup and playing, you know, there's of course the Slonina goalkeeper. He made the decision, I guess, just earlier this summer to play for the United States, but he could have also played for Poland. And you had that opportunity too, because when you first came over here, you, of course, you could have been in the Polish system, but you got U.S. national citizenship. So you still had to make kind of a decision too, no?
Yeah, different decision. Nothing like what Swanina had. I mean, you have to remember that I left in 1984. I was already in the Polish junior team back then, but, you know, those are the days where you couldn't watch a game, right? I mean, think of it, 84. I mean, the leagues here anyway, you know, I started out here playing indoors before the outdoor leagues.
Right.
And it wasn't, neither was a choice. I didn't expect to play for the U.S. national team. This was just something that happened. I didn't ask. I didn't think I could. And certainly, you know, I wasn't wanted by Polish national team by virtue of they didn't even know where I was. So, I mean, two different times.
Yeah.
So unlike Swanina had two countries fighting for him, right? I had, I almost say at some stage, neither one, because when you move countries like that and there's no television coverage whatsoever, no internet, no way of looking at somebody, it's just a two different stories. I mean, I'm glad that the U.S. national team found me somehow, which was a big surprise for me when the call came. Well, surprised to a degree, because as I said, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
There was a moment when they actually did call me that I didn't even have U.S. passport yet. But, you know, John Kowalski, who was very well known, has been with the national team system and indoors, you know, he kind of helped me out with that because he was involved. But different story. For Swornina, he had a decision to make. I think ultimately he made the right decision. Poland, unlike us now, it's total switch because U.S. has always had two, three. There was never a question about the goalkeeper in the national team. We do have some issues right now with the goalkeepers, whereas Poland doesn't. Szczęsny showed that yesterday against Wales. He was absolutely incredible against Gareth Bale, who's going to play against the U.S. and plays in the AFC and others. Plays for Juventus, Skorupski, and we have two goalkeepers in Serie A, a young goalkeeper that's playing in Grabara, who's injured now, product of Poland, but he was in the Liverpool youth systems, playing extremely well for Copenhagen in Champions League. He's been injured now, but he had so many clean sheets last season, and he's a young and up-and-coming goalkeeper. That so for I think Swornina, I'm not saying that he couldn't have beaten out some of those players. Would have been a while. It would have taken him a while. I think his road is perhaps maybe easier. Not saying that easy, but easier here. He was born here. So I think at the end of the day, even though there was a legitimate, obviously he was called up to a camp by Poland. I this is me on the outside looking in, even though I was asked by both, obviously. I think ultimately he made the right decision.
Well, I think it's like you said earlier, it's timing. You have to look at like, is this the timing right for him to be on this team or this team? And like you said, the U.S. team seems like a better fit for timing because he already has players.
On paper, because ultimately, if Swornina is as good as we think, is going to be as good as we think he's going to be, Chelsea is going to get the best out of Swornina, then the situation in a particular national team is meaningless because, you can have five great goalkeepers, but if you show that you're the best, then you're going to be the best. So I don't necessarily look at it from the standpoint, okay, these three goalkeepers are not as good as Poland has right now. May be the case, but it's today. Mm-hmm. Injuries, loss of form, and if somebody emerges and shows, you know, how good they are, they can certainly jump ahead of Q, if you will, or waiting.
Right. So talking about, you know, we have players here, of course, that can play there, but I kind of want to get a little bit of your background on or your knowledge on just the Polish national system and like Polish players in general. Like, what is the kind of, we don't want to stereotype them because, of course, every player is different, but like, is there something that we should know about when we get someone who's got a Polish background as far as coming there? Is there some sort of system that's...
Yes, I mean, Poland's going through some of the issues that I think even in Major League Soccer does. There's still that big pull. You know, you have to understand that Polish League, I mean, obviously, there's some money for some, but it's not a league. Polish players obviously want to go to Europe as soon as they can. Trouble is that very often they leave too early. And you know, if you look at the United States, it could be the case. It changes quite a bit because think about it. Major League Soccer just a few years ago wouldn't give young players an opportunity. It was still influx of older players and coaches didn't trust them until Major League Soccer found out that, you know what, there's good money in it, right? Let's play these young players. And you see that. And all of a sudden you see a lot of young U.S. national team players moving abroad, right? So it's not a knock. It's a business, right? For, you know, even though it's Major League Soccer, you know, it's my, you know, league that I hope that it's successful, but, you know, you have to make money and you can only make, you know, have so many new teams in the league where without kicking a ball, you find $500,000, right? As a decision. So when that ends, you have to do something else. And what's something else? Something that the rest of the world's been doing for a long time is the business of transferring players. So in Poland, that still happens. Europe obviously is a great destination, but as we see United States becoming a very good option as well. But I think in Poland, in the first division, I still don't see the young players get an opportunity. There's still a lot of foreign players that I would call second, third or fourth category of players from all over Europe or from South America, from Africa, which I personally don't think is good for Polish players and for the league itself, because they do take a place of I think players that Poland has, and they're just as good and could be better. So I hope that changes. It still happens with some clubs, but I don't think it happens to a level that needs to happen. But you know, pressure of winning, pressure of, it's always there. Same here in the United States, same everywhere, right? You want to win. And but I look forward to seeing more and more young Polish players getting that opportunity. And even when they move, that they get the opportunity to play rather than just being happy with a move abroad,
right,
even to big leagues and sitting on the bench.
So when we talk about like Polish soccer, is there, you know, similar, you've been in the States so long, you know, like soccer is pretty much played all weekends and, you know, everywhere. And then when it gets to kind of academy levels and stuff like that, the more serious, but is soccer so prevalent there that, you know, you do have like these kind of things and like everybody's playing soccer and there's playing soccer on the streets and stuff?
It's a major sport, you know, in terms of playing the street, you see, still see it. It's different. I think it'll never be the same when I was playing, or maybe, you know, I still think some of the South American countries have more, still more of that. But I think in the age of computers and everything else, different interests, I think, you know, that is changing a lot. And we know it's changing. Well, here it never arrived. I mean, playing,
right,
playing in the streets was never a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to talk about that here, but it's changing all over the Europe in terms, you know, being the negative, in mm-hmm. the negative, if you will.
Right.
But, you know, it's the biggest sport and kids still sign up with clubs. And so there's no, I mean, there's other sports that Polish people love, right? I mean, there's ski jumping, of course. And now, you know, the volleyball team is one of the best in the world, just lost in the final of in Poland in the World Cup, although they've won the World Cup twice. And there's other sports, but soccer,
yeah,
when it comes down to it, the viewing figures for this World Cup are going to be, you know, crazy. I mean, easily over 10 million people. Record's been 16 million people in 2016 in European Championships when Poland had a great run. Think about it, 16 million people watching in a 38 million people country. You know, I mean, States, you know, like when it's like 3, 4, 5 million, everybody's going, oh my God, great ratings.
And I was, right,
yeah, I mean, in comparison to what, I suppose, right? I mean, this being in November, December, when it's cold in Poland, if Poland has a good run or that game against Argentina or even Mexico, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, right.
It'll be 20 million watching, you know, which is, you know, well over half the country. So
definitely.
So yeah, it's still number one sport, no doubt.
Well, kind of last thing, that I know you don't cover MLS, so it's hard for you to watch every game, but from afar, like how have you taken to Charlotte FC this year? Have you learned anything about them?
Yeah, look, I mean, as it is right now, I mean, I think it's a, you know, adjectives, right? Yeah, I don't know what's the right word, but I have to look at it as a very good season. Very, very good season for a team in its first year. I mean, I'm looking right now, what are they, 10th? I mean, just 4 points away from the playoff line.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that's they're still in it. It's not
right.
It's not gonna be easy because, you know, I look at it, next game against the Philadelphia Union, who have been absolutely incredible this season. They're tied for the Supporters Shield with LAFC right now, and I'm sure they're going to be going for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a team that's proven now that not only that they're playing well at home, they're playing great away. At first, we thought that, you know, this was a team, Jimmy Curtin, a good friend, you know, always, you know, he says, no, pragmatic, defensive, and look at this, 7-1, 6-1, 5-1, 4-1. I mean, they're scoring goals at will. I think they probably lead in that category anyways. Goal scored.
Yeah, yeah.
And against, so this is just incredible. So that's a tough one, right? I'm not saying impossible, but tough one. That I don't know when that Columbus game that was postponed, when that's going to be replayed.
Wednesday after.
Well, so there you have it. Columbus, my former team, I mean, so inconsistent on paper, so good. They concede leads, they mm-hmm. they late, they lose points, draw or lose. Frustrating for me as a former player to watch them, but on a day, I mean, very, very good team with some great personalities on that team. So that's probably not easy. They're in a fight as well. They're in a fight
right.
themselves to be there. And Red Bulls, again, team that's capable on any given night to do something special. They haven't been good at home, so that's one plus. I think you have him on the road, right?
Right, correct. But, yeah, last match.
Rasma, but they'll be fighting for better positioning, for home field advantage in the playoffs, because that's so key in a one-off. So three very, very difficult games. But having said that, last two games, you know, I watched the game in Chicago. Obviously, Świderski, great warm-up for him before Poland.
Right.
With two goals, scored the third, and I think it was Kolba. My memory serves me right. I think probably should have counted. I don't know why I think that.
It should have,
I already forgot so many games.
Right.
Not a hat trick in that game. And then NYCFC before they got going, because, you know, again, I covered NYCFC as a commentator.
Yeah.
They've had a tough time, but then now they kind of, right after that, they started the big win against Atlas in the Campeones Cup. And then they, you know, so they got going. So you got them in the right moment.
Right.
So for you, I mean, it's for Charlotte, it's a pretty good momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. And you always talk about like games that you really enjoy watching. You really need to come down and watch a game because the crowd is, I mean, like you talk about like those crowds that are really into it. It is so much fun. And we've, you know, being a new city and of course you get that excitement, but it's just, it's really just different than any other place.
That could be the great equalizer or even one that takes you over the top, because as tough as that schedule is, as I've mentioned, the Union and Columbus are at home. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked to, you know, a game like against Union on the weekend. I don't know what the sales are, but I wouldn't be shocked to see 50, 60,000 people for that game, right? Because A, it's a playoff push, so there's really something to play for. Mm-hmm. B, it's the best team in the league right now. I mean, I don't know what the tiebreaker is now between LAFC and, because I didn't look that deep, my apologies.
Yeah, but, no, it's, I think Philly's got it because of the goals.
It's close, right? Philly doesn't need any introduction, and yeah, that crowd can take you over a Union or a Columbus team. So you're quite right. I mean, the atmosphere, even on television, comes across very, very well in comparison to a lot of the teams, because numbers aren't everything, right? I mean, sometimes I often watch a game, you know, I used to say that, you know, and I don't mean just Major League Soccer, but Major League Soccer or even you know, NFL. I mean, it's 80,000 people, and, you know, I can take you to you know, game in Europe with 5,000 supporters and be much louder.
Right.
You know, so in MLS, the same story, right? It's not only when you come, it's the sort of atmosphere you make in the stadium. And that comes across very well in Charlotte.
Awesome. Well, I think I watched you one time when I was younger playing for Cleveland Force at a Baltimore Blast indoor soccer league game.
So team, but yeah, Baltimore Blast, Stan the Man Stamenkovic, and
yes,
the Pizza Man. Yeah. I mean, those are great
fun times. And Eric Krakauer said to ask you about playing in Connecticut against Portugal teams.
Well,
remember that?
Well, you know, that's a funny. So obviously Connecticut and anywhere in the Northeast, but in particular, you know, in the area that we live, I mean, obviously you have Polish, the you know, plenty of Portuguese and Italians. And, you know, it's the area that I live in is that. But I was playing in the Laza League, which was all Portuguese league in the Northeast, Ludlow, Lusitanos. And it's just over the border, small town of Ludlow in Massachusetts, just pretty much right on the border of Connecticut and Massachusetts. And yeah, nice little stadium, great club, you know, where you can eat, you know, it's one of those clubs that all Polish, any nation really has, where you can go in, speak Polish, eat Polish food and Polish beer. But Laza League was something else. So many former Portuguese players, Brazilian players, and it was incredible in those years. The league was so very good in terms of level of play. That I remember extremely well, and really it was a great preparation, because I played for Ludlow while I was on the U.S. national team. Before we were moved, we all moved a couple of years before the World Cup to California.
Right.
The times where we meet for a camp, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we go abroad, play against, you know, and then you come home for a week or two before the next trip. So in that time, I've played and trained there. So it was very, very helpful. And the level of play was such that I really didn't worry about drop off. Now, of course, you know, right after that, I go and play against Germany or Portugal.
Right.
I'm not saying the level was the same. What I'm saying is the level of preparation and the games were Really, really good. I know that people will probably smirk or don't get it, but only people of my generation and people that remember the Laza League will tell you, because on any given day, you're playing against a Portuguese first division or second or third division, either former or one that kind of left in hopes for a better life. You know, who knows what it was. And Brazilians, by the way, as well, because, you know, it was a Portuguese league, but by virtue of the language, there were many Brazilian players playing as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks. We appreciate you coming on, and thanks for your time today. And I appreciate you just sharing all this great stuff.
It's my pleasure, and good luck in these last three games.
Thanks.
Charlotte FC enters this match coming off three-game winning streak, first of the season, with their playoff hopes on the line. A 1-0 win over NYCFC while being down 10 men, and then the 3-2 comeback win against the Chicago Fire, and then the 4-0 blasting of the Philadelphia Union behind Danny Rios' spectacular four-goal feat for the crown. Now the club needs to win the remaining two matches, but it all starts with tonight. Currently, Charlotte FC sits in ninth place at 41 points. They are 4 points below Columbus, Orlando, and Miami, all who sit at 45, and they're in 8th, 7th, and 6th, respectively. FC Cincinnati, which sits at 46 points, is also in the hunt. And so if Charlotte FC wins out and finishes the season tied with any of these four teams, they would have the tiebreaker because they would have more total wins. So looking forward to the match and hope to see you all there. The Charlotte FC podcast is hosted and produced by me, Nick Finelli. Audio editing and mixing by Eli Finelli. We really appreciate everyone who listens to our podcast. Please make sure you follow the podcast so you get it in your favorite platform's feed. We are on Twitter and Instagram at CLTFCPodcast, and you can visit our webpage to listen and learn more at charlottefcpodcast.com.